Oh, how I hate to hear that sound early in the morning. Such a jarring wake-up call, especially when you're sound asleep. Am I the only one tempted to press the snooze button right about now? I guess for most of my life, I've had to get up early, no matter what, especially when Craig and I were first married and had only one car. That meant that whomever was driving the car had to drop the other one off at work. We lived in Rockville, Maryland, and I worked to the south in Bethesda, and Craig worked in Gaithersburg to the north. We both had to be at work early, so if I was the driver, I would drop Craig off at IBM in Gaithersburg, and then drive to Bethesda and get there by 7 a.m., which meant we were on the road before 6 a.m. Then that evening after work, I would drive on 70S to pick Craig up. By the end of a long day, I found that I would get so sleepy that I sometimes fell asleep at the wheel. Needless to say, this was very dangerous. I would do my darndest to stay awake, but would sometimes succumb to sleep halfway to Gaithersburg. But I thankfully had a built-in saving grace. My brain would immediately recognize that when I began to be in dream mode, it had to do something quickly, and I would be clicked awake in seconds. It was like my brain was signaling to me, you're not supposed to be dreaming while driving. And how grateful I am that I would receive these unconscious wake-up calls, which saved me and those around me from having a terrible accident. So at least in my life, wake-up calls have come in different forms. And I bet each one of you has your own similar stories. So let's unpack that a bit further by delving into today's text. This Sunday, the church begins Advent, and from our readings, we see a collective reminder to cultivate an ultimate sense of urgency. We never start Advent with something soft and sweet. No, we started instead with an apocalyptic text like our gospel reading, which is a jarring appeal for urgency. Writings in both the Jewish scriptures and the New Testament speak of a future time when God's kingdom of justice and peace will reign on earth. Today's passage is one in a series in Matthew's gospel that speaks of a day of judgment that will inaugurate the kingdom. When will that day be? Matthew says that no one but God knows the day, and he means no one. Our passage says that it will be similar to Noah's turbulent day. It's hard to miss the point. Matthew is saying, do not continue living as if God makes no demands on your life. Do not put off until another day living a Christ-like existence, because it is much closer to midnight than you think. Keep awake, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. It is essential to keep in mind that the early Christian community emerged at a time when apocalyptic thought was pervasive. Apocalypticism is the belief that the present world will soon come to an end. Chaos and catastrophes will reign, then God will defeat evil for all time, and God's kingdom of peace and justice will be established. The early Christian community was witnessing calamitous events, and so it seemed reasonable to believe that they were living in the final days before God's kingdom burst on the scene. The Roman army occupied Palestine and oppressed both the Jewish community and the early Christians. The world seemed to be in the throes of evil, and the future looked grim. The author of the Gospel of Matthew, however, had a problem on his hands. The first Christians believed that the return of Christ is imminent. A few years pass, then a decade, then another decade. When Matthew was writing, some 50 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, some still held out hope that this new age was just around the corner. But many were beginning to think that Christ was never coming back. And if Christ was never coming back, then why live a Christ-like existence? Why extend compassion to people in need? Why demand justice for people who are harassed and persecuted? Why wage peace? So Matthew wrote of Jesus' warning to his disciples, "Keep awake. You do not know when your Lord is coming." Now, that's a powerful wake-up call if I ever heard one. I think it's a safe bet that God is not going to run an infomercial on TV or post an announcement on Facebook so that everyone he has friended will know the day. Matthew says it's going to be a shocker to most of us. It's going to happen when we least expect it. But this is not the only time that Jesus warns his disciples about succumbing to the temptation of sleep. On the night of his betrayal and arrest, Jesus pretty much says the same thing to his disciples to encourage them to resist the feeling of weariness. In the darkness of the garden, his words seem more appropriate, more natural. The disciples had endured a long week. They had walked many miles to come to the holy city of Jerusalem. They had spent many long, tension-filled hours listening to Jesus answer the challenges and questions of the Pharisees. They were tired. They had just eaten a Passover meal, and their bodies wanted to digest their food. They want to sleep, but Jesus asked them to keep watch, to stay awake. The use of the term to stay awake on the night of his arrest fits the setting. But using it right after he tells his disciples about the coming destruction of civilization as they know it appears out of place. How could a person think about sleeping with the world in such a state of chaos? How could a person quietly lay their head on a pillow and gently close his or her eyes with such a threatening catastrophe looming? Jesus' warning is more easily understood if we consider that even in the garden, Jesus uses the term "stay awake" figuratively rather than literally. Because in actuality, Why warn the disciples to stay awake if he was only using it in the literal sense? What difference does it make if they are awake when the soldiers come? He does not want the disciples to fight the soldiers. He does not want his followers to organize an escape plan. Jesus knows that the soldiers are to arrest him. So what does he mean by admonishing them to stay awake? Jesus indicates that he wants his disciples to be more than just mentally and physically awake. He wants them to be spiritually awake so that they will understand the reality that is exploding around them. He knows that they cannot control it. They do not have any influence upon it, but he wants them to understand the theological meaning of the events that are about to transpire. The words of Jesus do not warn us to keep a physical vigilance, but a spiritual one. So thousands of years later, what do we hear Jesus telling us now? We're to stay awake and keep watch by maintaining a relationship with Jesus. For us, Jesus is not to be some figure in a book, some powerful, well-meaning, and insightful wise man. Jesus is a living person at the center of our being. Our relationship with Jesus will show itself in the fruit of our lives. So stay awake. Keep watch. You never know when you will be receiving your wake-up call. Advent is always a time for new beginnings for each of us. This coming week, ask yourself where you need a new beginning and will be willing to live it. A Hindu saying sums it up beautifully. How very good it is when we wake up before we die. Amen.